The Tao of Self-Confidence, Episode 402.
Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She is an award-winning poet, and she also has an Emmy-nominated TV show called Drop the Mic, and I'm just really excited to have her on to share her story with us today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Michelle Myers. Michelle, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Sure. Hi, Sheena. Thank you so much for having me on the Tao of Self-Confidence. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah, I mean, I've been a spoken word poet for 17 years. I think that many people are most familiar with the work that I do with my poetry partner, Katsi Vilayfan, and together we're called Yellow Rage. And many people are familiar with us because they've seen us on HBO when we were on Deaf Poetry Jam. So as far as my background as a spoken word poet, you know, that's kind of where I have my beginnings. And then as a spoken word poet, I've also been able to expand into the work that I do as an educator. So I am currently, I'm a full-time associate professor at Community College of Philadelphia, and it's there that I have a spoken word television competition show for students called Drop the Mic. And we're really happy that we've been nominated for an Emmy 2 times. And I also teach as an adjunct assistant professor at Temple University in the Asian Studies program. So I try to find ways to kind of bridge the creative work that I do as a poet with the work that I do as an educator.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Michelle, what's your cultural background?
So my cultural background is Korean American.
Thanks for sharing that. And what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
So I have 2 that I've used to help to kind of keep myself motivated and to just kind of give me courage whenever I feel like when I hit a wall. So Lauryn Hill is one of my favorite artists and someone who has been an inspiration to me in so many different ways. And so she has 1 song from The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill called Do Up That Thing. And there's a line from that song where she says, "Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem." And so that's something like when I feel like I'm selling myself short, I kind of say that becomes like a mantra to myself. So that's one. And then another one that I say to myself quite often is a pretty well-known proverb or saying that states, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. And so when I feel like I'm going through like a particularly hard time or, you know, struggling and so forth, I just remind myself that there's no such thing as failure, that sometimes transformation can, you know, force us into a position of struggle, but that a lot of times perhaps we have to change our particular mindset or the way that we're viewing it, and then just kind of be open to the whatever kind of possibilities that might arise, because sometimes that struggle is just signaling to us that a new opportunity is before us. So those are the 2 self-confidence quotes that I use quite often.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, those were great quotes that you mentioned, especially the one that you mentioned about the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, because, I mean, we all go through like bad stuff, right? Things we can't control. And, you know, the best thing we can do is think, you know, why did this happen and what good can come out of it, right? I always believe something good will always come out of every situation, like you mentioned, right? So it's great that you mentioned that. It's just a great reminder as well. And Michelle, what's your definition of self-confidence?
My definition of self-confidence is I believe that everyone has the right to claim agency over one's identity and actions in spite of the ways in which people might try to impose their own views of what their identity should be. And then there are also various processes that are often at work which try to dismantle the way in which people identify themselves. And so I think it's important in terms of being able to maintain one's self-confidence for people to be able to establish a conviction within themselves and to be guided by their own sense of personal truth, justice, and purpose.
Thanks for sharing that great definition. And Michelle, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
You know, a lot of people will tell me that they think that I'm a very self-confident person and they always view me as being very strong. Sometimes people will use the word fierce too when they express to me like how they view me. I actually always feel like I'm working on my self-confidence. I don't know that anybody ever really truly eliminates feelings of insecurity or doubt. I think there are things that happen in our lives every single day which kind of challenge us. And so I feel like I'm always having those kinds of experiences. experiences too, but I think what I do for myself that perhaps other people need to work on some more is that even when I feel those insecurities creeping in, I'm always trying to counter that. Like whatever kind of negative thoughts are coming in into my head, I'm always trying to counter that with positive self-talk where, I try to, be my own kind of pep coach. And so I think it's important that anytime we have these insecurities or these doubts that are popping up in our thoughts or just, for various in other, ways in our lives, that we have to figure out how we are going to handle and push through those kinds of insecurities and doubts. So yeah, I think that for me, that's the thing that I try to remind myself all the time is to, make sure that I'm thinking through and I'm telling myself positive things and that I'm encouraging myself and that, as I'm encouraging myself that I'm just constantly pushing through. So yeah, I think that I'm still in progress as far as like self-confidence is concerned.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know, this journey to self-confidence is always a never-ending journey. But was there a moment in your life where, you realized you had that confidence to go out there and be the person that you are today, be the poet, do things like Beyond Deaf Poetry Jam? Was there like a aha moment in your life?
Sure. I mean, I think that these aha moments for me happen on an ongoing basis, especially when I do go out and perform and people approach me after my performance, especially if they're young women and especially if they're young Asian American women. As I mentioned earlier, Kathy and I have been performing poetry for 17 years now, and it's always very humbling when, a young Asian American woman will come up after a set and will say that they've been listening to my poetry for over a decade, or, they'll say that when they first heard, one of my poems or my poetry partner and I's poems together, that we expressed things that they had always wanted to say, but never really felt like that they could say it, that they didn't feel like that they had the courage to say it. And then sometimes these women will say that listening to our poetry gave them the inspiration to write poetry themselves, to become more outspoken, to express themselves in ways where they are laying claim to whatever identities they want to lay claim to in a way that's uncompromising and unapologetic. And so whenever I feel as though, I'm being overcome by doubts and insecurities and struggles, it's remembering all the ways in which these women who have shared these feelings with me, these thoughts with me, I just think about how they in turn inspire me. And so that gives me the strength and the courage to keep going, because the other thing that all of this reminds me of is that, we don't live and we don't function in isolation. We are a part of a community. And so in performing my poetry, I think that's something else that's, become very, very clear to me, is that the work that I do, the work that my poetry partner, that we do together when we're performing this poetry and sharing it, that we're trying to build community. And I'm hoping that, not when I say community, I mean it not just like within or among Asian American women, but also among, the Asian American community in general, but then even beyond that as well, to be able to kind of cross cultural boundaries so that we can figure out ways that we can connect with each other. So anyway, all of that is to kind of say that I feel like I'm constantly experiencing these aha moments, and that all of these things function to just kind of fortify the sense of self-confidence that I feel like that I'm constantly on a journey of trying to develop.
Thanks for sharing that. And, sometimes all we need is, proof that, one person can be inspired through our work. And, when we can inspire one person, it's like, how many more can we go out there and inspire others? And, it's great that you're out there doing that. And, because of that realization, what's your life been like now?
I mean, I think that for myself, it gives me, because since a lot of times what they'll do is they'll share their own personal experiences with me, and they'll tell me about like a specific instance where they experienced sexism, or, an experience where there is this intersectionality between sexism and racism. It makes me it reminds me that there's still so much more work to be done and that there's still so many things to raise awareness about and to discuss. And I think that as an artist, as a spoken word poet, it's made me more mindful of those particular issues. And so I try to write with those issues in mind. And so that's one aspect of it in terms of kind of like broadening out the kinds of topics that I write about and that I share when I'm performing on stage. And then the other aspect of it for me is trying to be present as much as possible for these young women who come up to me. And, you know, sometimes I keep saying young women, but sometimes they're not always necessarily just young women. It's women of all ages. And that's also really wonderful when I feel like I can connect, like, you know, across the generations where there is this multi-generational kind of response to my work. But I think that what I was starting to say was that it's been important for me to realize that it takes a kind of courage to come up and speak to me after the show too, and to tell me these things. And as I stated before, sometimes what they'll share with me are really personal experiences. And so I realized that, you know, this is a special moment and that I have to make sure that I'm fully present with them as they're sharing these things with me. And so when I'm on stage, I try to make sure that I'm like in the moment with them, that, you know, I'm really paying attention to people's body language and their facial expressions as they're listening to my poetry, you know, in the different ways that they're responding. And then if they do happen to come up to me after the show, like, I'm really trying to give my full attention to them, you know, as they're speaking to me, and, like, you know, really actively listening and trying to respond in a way that, you know, that I think will be helpful. And so I think that, you know, in terms of being a writer, but then also the way in which I'm trying to be in the present moment with any of the women or any people who come up to me after a show, I think, you know, that's how my life has changed in this process of discovery through self-confidence.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, if our listeners were listening to your episode and they were in a similar journey to self-confidence, what would be that one tip you would give to them?
I think that what I would advise people who are trying to, I don't know, boost their own self-confidence, I really like to encourage them to try to approach their lives more intentionally. I think that practicing mindfulness is also very helpful. So, like, really trying to have a moment where they can be, I talked in my last answer about being present with others, but I think it's equally as important to be present with ourselves. And so trying to find a moment where we can, yeah, kind of have to be disconnected in a way where we can be aware of ourselves and, you know, just take that time to breathe and to really get in tune with what it is that we're feeling. And hopefully, you know, in becoming more in tune with what it is that we're feeling, we can also help guide ourselves into making the decisions that would be best for us in, you know, whatever situations that, you know, we're faced with having to make decisions. And also, The other really important part of this, as I had mentioned earlier as well, is positive self-talk. Because as an educator, one of the things that I've noticed a lot, and I really try to talk about this with my students, like from the very beginning of the semester all the way to the end of the semester, is that a lot of times people, for whatever reasons, they have this tendency to set themselves up for failure. Because what they'll do is they'll say, oh, I'll never be good at this. Or what's the point of doing that? Because I'm just going to fail at it, et cetera, et cetera. And so they never take any chances. Or because they imagine that they're going to fail, they say to themselves, why bother? I'm just not going to do this. And so when we have those kind of negative thoughts about ourselves, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it can go in the other direction too. I mean, if we can tell ourselves, you know, I can do this. And then even if it doesn't turn out the way that we wanted it, even if it's, you know, we put our all into it and it, you know, it the outcome isn't exactly what we wanted and perhaps we're a bit disappointed by it, we can't be discouraged by that. We have to tell ourselves, okay, well, now I have that experience and I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to try again, right? We have to just keep trying again. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm, you know, constantly, you know, as an educator, but then also I think like when I go out and I lead these poetry workshops and I, you know, try to do these connections within the community among different people, you know, I try to encourage them to think about all the ways in which, you know, we can motivate ourselves in positive ways. And so we have to, if we don't believe in ourselves, then how can we expect anybody else to believe in us? So we have to tell ourselves, I can do it, or I can do better, or, you know, whatever kinds of positive, whether they're mantras or, you know, whether And it doesn't even, it can be words, but, you know, something else that I encourage my students to do is they create a vision board. You know, create a vision board, you know, of all the things that inspire you, of all the goals that you have, or all the places that you want to visit, or, you know, the things that you want to have in your life someday, maybe a family or that job or whatever, and just, you know, put it up. Make a little collage out of it and then put it up someplace where you can look at it every day. So anyway, it's about, like, you know, figuring out a way to surround yourself with positivity and to have a space and a time during the day where you can kind of give attention to yourself and then also talk to yourself positively and encourage yourself. That all of that would be advice that I would give to people as they're on their own journey towards self-confidence.
Thanks for sharing those awesome tips. And if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, or check out some of your poetry work, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
Sure. So I do have a website, which is michellemyerspoet.com. And so Michelle is MichelleMyers, and then poet.com. And there are no spaces in that. And then I am also on Facebook. So if people wanted to look me up on Facebook, or, you know, I'd be happy to connect with folks that way. And then if people wanted to reach out to me, I do have two email addresses. So michellemyerspoet@gmail.com, and then michelle@yellowrage.com. And again, Michelle has two L's in it. So yeah, any one of those ways would be really great if people wanted to connect.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Michelle, you can also head on over to thetaoofselfconfidence.com and search for Michelle's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Michelle for taking the time to share her story and tips with us today on self-confidence. So thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, sure. Thank you. It was a great pleasure. Thanks so much, Sheena.
Not a problem. It was an honor having you on the show. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com to check out cool resources, blog articles, show recaps, and so much more. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.